views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready for a game changer. Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sarah will bring you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Now here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and you're listening to Conscious Business Radio on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, we are going to be talking about drones, and we will have Zane Nabolsi with us. He's the CEO of Drone Labs. It's the leading development company for drone detection hardware and software. In fact, they have a patent technology for intelligent drone detection, and drones have increased remarkably over the last, every year they grow remarkably. And the estimate is that by the end of the decade, there's going to be 30,000 drones that are going to be in the skies, major planes in the skies that the FAA is going to monitor and watch. And the military has gotten to the point where the majority of their planes that they're going to be using is drones. So it's become a significant part of our culture to have drones going around in the skies. And the problem is there's a lot of good things that come from drones. You can bring medicine to areas that are hard to reach. You can help with uncontrolled fires. There's a lot of even cool recreational things like taking pictures in areas that you can't get to, just all neat sorts of stuff. But for every good thing, there's always somebody evil that wants to take advantage of it. There's corporate and government sabotage and espionage and unwarranted surveillance of business and celebrities and things. And that's where Drone Labs, Zane Nabolsi's company, comes in. They have this intelligent drone detection so that you can know where the drones are and what they're doing. So that is what we're going to talk to him about when he joins us on the show. But before I get to that, I want to talk about what Business Game Changers is up to. Business Game Changers right now airs in New York, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. And we also stream live on a bunch of different online stations as well. And we are looking to syndicate across the country, actually even globally syndicate, where we're going to be in over 11 million homes, and we are going to be in 120 countries, and we're going to have huge exposure for our sponsors and people that we talk to. But in order for this to work for us, we need to get more sponsors. And we believe that we have the best rates in the industry, and we really need these sponsors in order for our independent show that we bring to you each week to go forward. And I have rates on my website at sarahwestall.com, and they start at less than $1,000 to get global exposure or even just across the country exposure, which is an amazing rate for the type of numbers that we have as far as listeners go. So we would greatly appreciate your support in keeping us independent and the ability to bring you all these, disruption and talk about the big issues and talk to entrepreneurs without the restrictions of the mass media. We're an independent organization, and we want to stay that way. And we can give you a ton of exposure at the best rates. We don't have all the built-in infrastructure that some of these other companies have. So our rates are, we just don't have all the middlemen involved. So our rates really show that. And So if you know anybody that would benefit from this, have them go to my website, take look down at our media kit and download that. Once again, sarahwestall.com. And I want to tell you a little bit about the organization we are. We are our Conscious Business Radio. We're trying to bring consciousness to business. How can we be more ethical? Bring these issues to the public so they you know what's going on. You can't make informed good decisions if you only get half the information. So we're trying to bring you things that show you what's really going on in the business world. What's going on the leading edge? What's the new technology? What's going on with the big issues? Bring to you the people that are involved in that. But one really great thing about Transformation Talk Radio and Conscious Business Radio is they're just a wonderful place to support. They won last year the International Stevie Award for the top team and how they treat their people, and also for women helping women. So it's just a wonderful organization to support. So hopefully you will dive into that. And before we get into the drone issues and information, I want to talk a little bit about retirement. And I know there are a lot of people that lost a lot of their nest egg in 2008, and hopefully most of you earned it back with the stock market going crazy. But for those of you that are, and this is a lot of people, probably the majority of people that still really do need to save for retirement, well, I found a really good piece of research, and it was from the Business Insider magazine, on how much money do you need to earn to live comfortably while saving money in a major U.S. city. So they looked at 15 major U.S. cities and to see what you would need to earn in order to live comfortably and save a significant amount. And so their rule that they used was a 50-30-20 rule, meaning that 50% of after-tax home pay goes to necessities such as food, childcare, healthcare, and transportation, 30% to discretionary spending, and then after that you can take 20% and use it towards savings. And so this is pretty much what they came up with. Houston being their number 15 city, they estimated that the cost of annual necessities would be approximately $61,000, and the suggested annual discretionary spending would be about $36,700. So based on that formula, you would be able to save in Houston about $24,500 on a suggested annual take-home income of $122,500. So in order to save that, the 24-5, you would need to make about $122,500. And this is assuming two adults working with two kids. Okay, so the next city that they went over is Sacramento, and they expect about $125,400, close to the same income, and your suggested savings would be about $25,000, going with that 50-30-20 rule. And we go all the way down to some of these other cities like Chicago, a big one, $128,000 annual income to save about $25,600. And your estimated necessities would be about $64,000. So let's go to all the way down to some of these top cities here. Boston, you need to make $156,500 to do that 50-30-20 rule. And your estimated cost of annual necessities would be about $78,000, discretionary funding about $47,000, and you could save about $31,000. Of course, if you don't need or want to save that much, that $31,000 can go into whatever you want it to go into. Okay, Washington, D.C., you need to make $160,000. Estimated cost of necessities is $80,000. So you need to be making $80,000 just to survive paycheck to paycheck with the husband and wife situation, or two people and two kids. And that isn't counting discretionary income, which would be about $48,000, with a suggested annual savings of $32,000. Okay, the number one city on our list is New York City. And in order to just make it by and live comfortably with two kids and two adults, you're going to need to make $170,000 if you want to save 20% of your income for retirement. So that would mean that annual necessities would be about $85,000 in the city. And your discretionary income would be about $51,000, and your savings would be about $34,000. And of course, you're going to need more discretionary income and more savings if you plan on staying in that city to retire, or just when you have fun, you need more discretionary spending, right? Because everything's more expensive in New York. So if you want to find more information on this article, I thought this was really interesting to share. It's on the Business Insider website, and you can go there. It's just salary to live in major U.S. cities comfortably. Okay, so now, after all that, we're going to welcome Zane Nabolsky to the Zane Nabolsky to the program, and he is the CEO of Drone Labs. Hi, Zane. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Sarah. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, your company does drone detection, and you are kind of on the cutting edge of all this stuff. What do you do exactly?
So Drone Labs creates one product, Drone Detector, and we've got a couple of versions of it. We've got a fixed unit that kind of sits around in a single location and detects, and then we have a portable unit that can be hand-carried by security personnel and that sort of thing. But essentially what we do is we detect recreational and commercial drones, not the big military ones, right, where that's not the business we're in. And we also provide, and we're in the early stages of creating countermeasure systems and consulting services around those types of activities. So things like forensics on captured drones and so on and so forth. So really a full spectrum of activities around dealing with the drone threat and the drone problem being posed by the recreational and commercial drones.
The military drones are the planes, and what's the military drones versus the recreational commercial drones?
Yeah, absolutely. So the big military drones, most people know about those. You hear about the drone strikes on ISIS and all that stuff. Those are the big ones. You know, I say big, you know, relatively speaking to what we're talking about. That fly up real high. They have the missiles. They kill the bad guys from a distance. Some guy in Arizona in a trailer is flying it, right? And while it's over in, you know, some foreign country, you know, taking out bad guys. Those are military-type drones. They carry a very big payload. They fly very high altitudes. They fly very fast. You know, just a variety of things that go around with them. They're military oriented.
And there's a lot more than just those that they have, I imagine, as well.
Absolutely. Those, and we, you know, we tend not to pay a whole lot of attention to those in the private sector, but they actually have, the military have and are working on drones of all kinds, not just the big ones that kill people, but the small ones that spy on people, and everything in between. I mean, I've seen, for example, research being done into drones the size of an insect, research being done into drones that look like birds and will set near a subject and simply surveil them, and look just like a bird setting on a telephone pole. So
certainly
those efforts are underway, right? And those are things being done by the military, but we tend to not focus on any of those things. Those represent a government-funded, deliberate effort to, you know, to deal with a perceived problem by the government.
You are listening to Business Game Changers, and we need to take a short station break.
What does it mean to be healthy? For each of us, it means something a little different. Discover the art of herbal medicine, a natural way to help our bodies respond better to the modern-day stress and toxicity of our everyday lives. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness in Kirkland can help you choose the herbs that are right for your body. Find your herbal solutions for common health issues at urbanwellness.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Welcome back. I'm Sarah Westall, and you're listening to Business Game Changers on the Conscious Business Radio Network. And we're talking to Zane Zabolsi, from the CEO from Drone Labs.
Our space that we work in is more the commercial space. We deal with things like vandalism, corporate spying, paparazzi spying on people, potential threats from the recreational space. It gets kind of interesting because there are some blurred lines. For example, we're very concerned with the possibility of assassinations with drones. And so we definitely have explored that aspect of it. We're concerned about the possibility of not just flying drones, but we also concern ourselves with water-based drones and ground-based drones, which a lot of our competitors tend to just completely ignore. They just assume it's a flying drone, and that's a mistake. This is the threat posed is what we call an asymmetrical threat. It's not something you can necessarily predict. It's not a common type of element. It's a new piece of the equation that's being introduced, and it's causing quite a lot of headache for security personnel worldwide. I think that's why we're so popular.
Well, I just saw an article where an 18-year-old boy in Connecticut tied a shotgun to a drone and figured out how to get it to fire off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's been two or three examples of that. And take it further. Imagine somebody that has access to some type of explosive. And it doesn't have to be a lot of explosives. The drones carry cameras normally anyway. If you take that same weight in explosive or maybe a little more, because the drone can carry more, and use that and use a remote detonation device like a cell phone, you've got an instant-made, assassination tool. Just fly it right up to somebody and boom, lights out.
Just dump it into their chair and have it blow up right in front of them.
You got it.
That's awful. And it's easy, and then you won't be able to tie it back to anybody either, will you?
No, they're nearly impossible to trace. And with 3D printing technology, people can literally print up their own drones.
That's just crazy. So why do you focus on the commercial space and the private space and ignore the military?
I want to be clear, we don't really deal with the military space, but we do deal with the public sector. So we deal with prisons, various three-letter agencies, right, that want to get engaged and protect, civilian populations. The main reason we kind of shy away from the military is there's plenty of competition in that space. You've got your real big heavy hitters going out there, your Lockheed, your Boeing, your Raytheon, pick one. They're all, they've got bajillions of dollars and they're all throwing money at the problem. And, even if they're wrong most of the time, they're still going to hit it right just by throwing money at it. So they tend to operate in their space and we really don't have no desire to compete with them. They're more focused and they have quite a bit of liberty to do things that we just don't focus on. For example, Boeing has an interesting system that will track using optical recognition a drone and then fire a laser at it and basically, melt the damn thing and it falls out of the sky. That's a great military solution because, a melted drone falling out of the sky in the middle of a desert or somewhere is not a big deal. But in our world, we tend to focus on a more refined approach. We want to be a scalpel. A melted drone falling out of the sky in the middle of a city could cause all kinds of pain and suffering. So we're more focused on solutions that will not cause harm to property or citizenry in the general vicinity, and very heavily focused in the urban environment. We just did a gig in Tokyo, for example, testing out to see if we could really detect at the distance that we thought we could detect. And we were very pleased to find out that even in the middle of downtown Tokyo, we could get a 500 meter detection. So it was very,
wow, that's great.
Yeah. It was
well, what happens when there's multiple drones? You could have like 10 of them. How do you know? You just know where all 10 are?
Yeah. We just differentiate between all of them and we say, okay, now there's 10 drones. I mean, it's really just unless the drones are an exact match, which is nearly impossible because most of the drones, you know, we're going to be able to identify by several types of unique identifiers, or they're going to do something called frequency hopping and they never hop it the same way. So we can differentiate between different types of drones quite easily, in fact.
Interesting. And drones are more plentiful than the average person believes or knows about, isn't it?
Yeah. I would say, you know, today there's probably, and I'm just throwing ballpark out there, like 400,000, 500,000 maybe drones. Next year, they're anticipating, by the end of 2015, actually, I'd say next year, I mean like next few months. By the end of 2015, particularly over the Christmas season with the increase in sales, most predictions are there'll be 1 million drones sold in 2015.
What are people buying all these for? Is it, because, you know, I imagine it's not much different than the toys that we used to have, right? Where we remote control a little flying deal.
No, not different at all.
And really? you just put a camera on it, or you just put something on it.
Yeah, and that's why people are doing it. Remember, in any given population set, right, you're going to have most of the populace adhering to the rules and the laws, and things will be fine. There's always that small percentage of bad guys who are going to do bad things. But most of the people are buying these simply for the joy and pleasure of flying the drone. It's not evil in and of itself. It's a fun tool. In fact, we're drone pilots ourselves at Drone Labs. We love flying drones. And I make it a regular occurrence that whenever I demo a drone for any customer, when they come, oftentimes customers will fly to Austin from all over the world to our headquarters. I always make sure that they have a few minutes to just fly the drone and see what that experience is like. And you'd be amazed. I'm curious, Sarah, have you yourself ever flown a drone?
Well, the toys. I got my son one of those flying little helicopter deals.
There you go. I mean, and they're fun, right? I mean, they're kind of cool to kind of scoot around and have a little fun with.
Yeah.
Really exciting. And once you upgrade to some of I tell you, today, my current favorite is the 3D R Solo. It's my favorite drone.
What does it do?
It's just got really good user-friendly elements to it. It's got nice instructions for beginners. Like, I just had some customers, my Japanese partners were in, and there was four of them. And I literally, in less than 2 minutes, had them flying the drone without any problem with a 3D R Solo. It's a great, great drone for people who, you know, don't want to be hardcore drone pilots. They just want to have fun and fly a drone around. It's got some nice gyro elements in it that keep it nice and stable. If you wanted
a camera on it, it would do good because it doesn't sit and bounce around.
Yeah, exactly, right? You know, your earlier versions of drones didn't have stabilizers in them. So when you flew them, invariably you'd fly into something because you'd get it all wrong. You couldn't stabilize it. The later versions, and to be fair, the other manufacturers are doing this as well, like DJI and Unic. But I love the 3D R Solo because, you know, it stays stable basically all the time. And, you know, you can set it somewhere. I literally, when I do a demo, I'll set it about 10 feet up and just let it sit there and buzz while I'm talking to my customers. Then when I'm ready to go, I'll hand them the controller and go, okay, have fun. You know, it's kind of enjoyable.
Well, I teach an entrepreneurial class at the University of Minnesota in the business school. And there's one of the kids in my class came up with an idea of doing an event. He wanted to do an event company, but he wanted to do it with drones and take film footage with the drone from different angles for his events that he was going to be putting on. So there's a lot of creative ideas that you can do with these drones.
Absolutely. And I think that's the important thing for people to understand. We are a drone detection company. We're out to catch the bad guys, the small percentage of people that mess it up for everybody else. But on the main drones, as far as drones contribution, not just in the fun or in like you described, some of the more kind of entrepreneurial aspects, but just in actual benefit to humanity overall, drones are an amazing addition to the human condition. You've got drones flying medicines to remote locations in like Haiti that you couldn't get to, you know, without a whole lot of effort before.
Oh, so, that's interesting. And scientists can use it to get into really difficult spots and things.
You got it. Absolutely. So they're very beneficial. But again, we kind of come full circle for everything like that, whatever it is, any tool of that kind, pick any tool ever created by humankind, there will always be the vast majority that use it correctly and then those who use it incorrectly. And that's what we're focused
on. The dreaded bad guys?
Yeah, we focus on...
Well, what are you finding that people are doing that are bad? What are the bad guys doing?
It varies. So my favorite one, and the one we see most often, far beyond anything else, is the bad guys are using drones to fly contraband into prisons.
And it probably works great.
Oh, it works amazing.
And so the prisons want the detection device. If there's a flipping drone delivering drugs or some kind of weapon, I want it. I want to know.
You got it. You got
because,
it. You'd be
because
surprised.
The guards are in danger.
You got it. You got it. And I'll go one further. Guess what? Before I got into this business, I had no idea. I really didn't know anything about prisons. Guess what the number one smuggled thing into prisons is?
I have no cigarettes. I don't know.
You think, right? Cell phones. Cell phones are like gold inside prisons.
Oh, that kind of makes sense. They want to call the people they care about.
Yeah, but before I got into this business, I was like, what? I thought it was drugs or, you know, knives or guns. And not cell phones, man. Everybody wants a cell phone.
Well, that's a little more innocent, at least, because they're using it to call people and that they maybe care about or something.
No, in all likelihood, from what I understand, they're using it to call in, like, hits and order drugs.
It's to run their business from inside.
Yes, to run their business, yeah.
What else do you run into?
We're seeing a whole lot. It's kind of a weird space. This industry has got a lot of different elements to it. So you go from prisons to the next biggest thing we're seeing, which is drones being used to spy on rich people, particularly people with like yachts or, you know, semi-remote estates. And, you know, California, they're having a big problem with it. Now, California is also having a problem with drones getting in front of the fire, the planes trying to put out fires and stuff. That's a different animal.
Hello, we are back with Business Game Changers on the Transformation Talk Radio Network and Conscious Business Radio. And we are continuing our interview now. Hello, we are back with Business Game Changers on the Transformation Talk Radio Network and Conscious Business Radio, and we are continuing our interview now.
But you get a lot of people using it to spy because a picture of a rich individual or a famous individual in some type of compromising position or, you know, having a party on their boat or whatever it happens to be is worth quite a bit of money. I mean, TMZ will pay all kinds of cash for those kinds of pictures.
That's awful.
Yeah, and so
that's
true.
Huge,
and we see a lot of that.
And how many of the photos now that are coming out are generated by drones doing that?
I think you're starting to get more and more. I couldn't honestly.
And TMZ doesn't care. Just get us the picture. No. We don't care how you get it.
Nobody cares. As long as, you know, and they're actually, I think, you know, the guy taking the picture is committing the crime, but the people publishing it, you know, I think they're indemnified anyway, so I don't care. But you've got these things happening. And the funny part is, and here's the really silly part, you've got lawmakers passing laws with sentences that really aren't that strict. So that even if, you know, and the laws aren't going to stop the bad guys anyway, but you've got a paparazzi who are flying drones around taking pictures, and they're not really caring about the fine. Fine, they'll pay the fine. The fine will be X, you know, let's call it $500.
Fines don't work if they make more money doing it than the fine is.
Exactly, right? If they have a $500 fine and get a $5,000 picture, who cares, you know?
Yeah. So, I remember when I was in college, if you parked in a zone that you weren't supposed to park in for a class, I think it was like $75 for the ticket, but the parking for the whole month was more.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we'd be like, okay, let's just take the risk.
Exactly. And I've been preaching about that for a while. In my opinion, you know, there's several things that are going on. I'm sure you heard about the Transportation Association putting out, you know, trying to make it so every recreational drone is registered, and a variety of other things that are happening. And I just published an article, you know, kind of describing why that's not going to work. But one of the things I've always said is, you know, in addition to having us, of course, right, I have to eat. But one of the things is, if you're going to have drone laws, then you need to make sure the punishment is severe enough for, and I'm very specific about this, for intentional drone misuse. Now, there's a lot of accidental drone misuse.
All they're, you know, if they sit and register, all they're going to do is make it a pain in the butt for the person who intends to do nothing bad.
You got it. You got it.
They increase all this BS for good people because the bad guys don't care.
Bad guys do not care. And the worst part is, I believe that it will actually wind up having somewhat, maybe not a major one, but certainly a bit of a chilling effect on the impetus of people to buy a drone, because they think they might get in trouble. Oh, I got to register my drone, and, you know, I might get in trouble with my drone. And that's most of the time, you know.
It's a little toy in some ways, and just leave people alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to be careful, because you do cross a line there. It is a toy, like the tiny helicopters and stuff. Those are cool. They're fine. But when you get into the quadcopters with the blades and the power they have, you got people who can lose fingers and stuff. I mean, it can get ugly.
Well, they can go pretty high and fast too, right?
Yes, they can. Oh, okay.
And one of the things that I've been reading is they've been getting in the way of commercial airlines.
Yeah, that is a problem, because you've got people who want to film. You know, they want to film the plane taking off or film the plane landing, and they don't realize that, you know, that plane, if it hits that drone, something could happen. I've even heard people, and this is the part that really kind of upsets me, I've heard people say, oh, well, it's no big deal, that big old plane will hit the plastic drone and it'll explode. And that's, for the most part, true. Those drones, you know, the drones we're talking about are mostly plastic, and they'll just kind of shatter. But what they don't consider is it's less about the drone, because I think the plastic will just chop up, even if it got caught in the engine. I don't think it'd be that bad. It's the battery inside those drones. Those things are really, really dangerous. It's like a brick. And if that goes into something at speed, I mean, that's just like a bullet. I mean, that could cause some real damage. And that's the part they don't think about. They think this little plastic drone that'll just, you know, it crashes into something and splinters. They don't think about this big, heavy battery they got to put in it. And that thing going at any rate of speed is just going to destroy anything in its path.
Well, and I know one that's bigger could probably even take down an airline plane, because a bird strike took down a plane in 2009, the one that went into the Hudson River, the big famous one. That was just a bunch of birds.
Yeah, Captain Sully's my hero. Yeah, imagine if somebody wanted to intentionally cause harm. Just take a drone and fly it into the engine, put a little extra oomph on it, maybe some metal shards or something it carries with it, or, you know, whatever you need, and fly right in the engine. Boom. Lights out, at least for that one engine.
Well, if they know what they're doing, yeah, they could just easily do it. Well, at the federal level, the FAA was planning on putting out a way to do safe integration of drones in the U.S. airspace. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that plan, and is it out yet?
I have, and NASA's working on something, and there's a litany of private, you know, people who are, you know, companies that are trying to hurry up and get there so they can get bought out. And, hey, we've got the solution. Unfortunately, they're all, you know, for example, let's take the FAA. We were for the record, we were the only drone detection company to participate in the FAA's requests for comments on some of the proposed rules, which I found interesting, because I believe that in order to be a good drone detection company, you also have to be a good drone enthusiast and understand the drone space. And I don't think our competitors really do that. So I find that quite intriguing. But having said that, one of the things that they suggested in their proposed rulemaking was putting numbers, just like, you know, you ever seen an airplane with the numbers on the tail?
Yeah.
You know, they proposed doing that with drones. Well, those numbers on the tail of an airplane are pretty darn big, man. But you put those numbers on a tiny little drone, that ain't going to work. So it was absolutely just.
So they don't have a plan at this
really
point.
They're struggling. They're trying to apply. They're not thinking out of the box, and nor would we expect them to, right? I mean, it's classic, you know, kind of government think.
Basically, they can't get out of there. But basically, couldn't you say that around these areas you can only fly at this height level, and around airports you have to stay? I don't know. I mean, wouldn't they be able to do some rules around just to make sure they're out of the way of planes?
Well, they've done that. So they've already done that. They've got the there's a website folks can go to called knowbeforeyoufly.org.
So they did the easy stuff.
They did the easy stuff. Like, you can't fly over 400 feet. You can't fly within 5 miles of an airport, you know, and all those things. But again, there is no implication if you intentionally – now, if you accidentally – Yeah, if you intentionally violate the rules, you should be punished severely. We've got to get case law down to set where those boundaries are so people understand where the boundaries are. Because just saying, well, you can't fly over 400 feet and you can't be within 5 miles of an airport, who cares? The manufacturers are even putting in their firmware. It takes like 5 minutes to override the firmware. Who cares?
Oh, yeah, bad guys can do a bit. If you sell knives, you're not going to keep everybody away from killing somebody with a knife. I mean, or, you know, stabbing. So it just doesn't – all you're doing is over-regulating good people.
You got it. And unfortunately, I think that's it appears the government's going to continue to head in that direction. They're going to continue to think that way and then probably figure out they made a mistake and course correct later on. Oh. But this idea that you can register every recreational drone when you already have hundreds of thousands out there – and have nearly a million on top of that now. So, you know, quite a few here.
Let's spend a lot of time and money, you know, watching the good guys.
Absolutely.
It's the same with banks and everything else. Pay attention to the bad guys and just, you have already the laws to deal with it.
Yeah. You know, just make sure the punishment is severe when somebody's clearly a bad person doing a bad thing. And they're not doing that. And then, you know, there's also the technology. I mean, I refer to it as painting a moving truck. We have dedicated ourselves to, you know, and again, this is something I think that's kind of unique to us as a drone detection company, because we are solely dedicated to detecting and interdicting drones. A lot of people who are getting into this market are actually, you know, doing a whole lot of other things in addition to trying to do drone detection. What we're seeing is that you'll have a big company, let's call it Company X, say, oh no, we need to get into this space because it looks like there's money. So they'll say they have something, and then when they get an order for it, then they'll build it.
Oh, geez. Well, that's what happened in the whole green space. I know that companies figured out how to describe their product as being green.
Yep.
From a marketing standpoint, suddenly all these companies had these green products. And you're looking at, well, that's not green. What is that?
Yeah,
that's just BS.
Amazing what you can do when you lie. I mean, and that's what's going on. And we even had, I won't name them because we're looking at litigation, but we were in talks with a very big company and it showed them a lot of what we could do. And they turned right around and copied our idea and trying to sell our idea out there like it's their own.
Yeah, I can see that. You have to be really careful. Yeah. But making it, this is that selling it like you can do, you're great at it and you can really do it, and then manufacturing it after they order it and you've never made it before, that's really unethical.
I believe so too. And I'll go one further. And for anybody listening to this, here's the challenge. Go to our website, dronedetector.com. Go to my videos page. There's a video link. And look at the videos. And you'll see us doing videos showing you our stuff working. Then go to any of our competitors. Invariably, they'll talk about all the great things their product can do, but they'll never show you videos or anything of it actually doing it. And it's very interesting to note that, right? Our major competitors don't do that. They won't show you. They'll show you some kind of stage stuff. I can think of one vendor who does video detection, and they have a very staged kind of one video they show. It's like, oh, look, it's tracking a drone. Yeah, okay, that's great, as long as the drone is up in the sky and there's nothing behind it and everything's perfect. You know, if you look at our videos, we're like, okay, drone's behind a tree and, you know, a meteor's coming and we got all this stuff we got to deal with. Yeah, that's really the true test of somebody who's passionate about this space versus somebody who's just trying to make a buck in the space.
That's funny. You're not competitive, are you?
No, not at all.
But your company really does do more than your product and service does more than anyone else in the space. Your detection capabilities are, and you're a bunch of engineers, aren't you, that came together and said, we're going to create this.
Yeah, my partner and I, Phil Weed, are software engineers. I don't know if I would go so far, as competitive as I am, to say that we do it the best of everyone, because everybody does something a little different. So we do audio detection and radio frequency detection today. We're going to add video, thermal, radar later on. But we have competitors who do stuff we don't do yet. Like I said, we got a competitor that does video detection. So they do video detection better than we do just because we don't do it yet.
But what do you do better than them?
Well, everything else.
You are listening to Business Game Changers, and we need to take a short station break.
Has asthma or allergies got you singing the raspy blues? Allergy and Asthma Networks is the nation's premier nonprofit patient-centered network of doctors, caregivers, patients, and healthcare professionals who are dedicated to ending death and suffering due to asthma, allergies, and related conditions. Join President and CEO Tanya Winders each month on the Dr. Pat Show to learn more and visit allergyasthmanetwork.org today. Breathe better together with Allergy and Asthma Network.
Hello, we are back with Business Game Changers on the Transformation Talk Radio Network and Conscious Business Radio, and we are continuing our interview now.
I mean, that's okay. And to be fair, that particular I'll tell you what I admire most, and yes, I am very competitive, as you figured out.
Well, most entrepreneurs are. It is.
Yeah, it's just the way it is. But I'll tell you what I admire most is when one of my competitors is very honest about their capabilities. Most of my competitors absolutely flat out just bald-faced lie.
I lie to the point. I despise the lying to get the customer. I despise it. You have to have integrity and honesty to build a business long-term or to even have a society that's worth anything. I mean, if everybody lies to everybody, nobody can trust anybody, and it makes it awful.
You got it. And that's the thing. It just drives me crazy when I see that. I mean, they're talking about, I'll give you a perfect example. One of our competitors does audio detection, and they swear up and down they can do audio detection like they used to say a kilometer out, right? No. Anybody knows anything about audio detection, there's not a chance in hell that's going to happen.
So if people are looking for this kind of service, how can they protect themselves from what you're talking about? Because they want something that's real. Nobody wants to buy crap. They want to have real service and have the product do what they need it to do.
Here's what I suggest for any customer who's going to buy. And remember now, I'm focused on the commercial space. Our price, you know, is really beyond the normal household person. So somebody wants one for their home. There are some lower end folks out there that sell that. But if you're a commercial interest or public sector of some sort, you know, or whatever, three-letter agency, what I suggest and what we execute on all the time is I say, look, it's very simple. You go to each of your vendors and you have them demonstrate what they can do. We have an open invitation to any customer to come to our site in Austin, Texas, and we will show them everything our drone detector does live right there, so they can see it for themselves. And that's what you got to do, because there's so much disinformation out there and so many lies. You really just have to do your due diligence and have them prove that the drone detector does what it says it's going to do.
Oh, it's just too bad that Pinocchio, we can't, people's noses don't grow when they lie.
Right? That would be awesome.
It would be.
I don't know, there'd be a lot of long noses out there.
There would be, but maybe people would learn.
Yeah, maybe they would. Maybe they would.
Well, Google and Amazon, they're creating delivery services with these things.
Yeah, you know, I find that intriguing. I think Amazon appears to have a handle on it. Google also does. They're taking different approaches. Last time I checked, Amazon was looking at a straight-up quadcopter solution, which long-term isn't going to be effective. It's good for short distances, but won't be good. Google's looking at kind of a combined quadcopter fixed-wing solution, which I think is more viable, that can go longer distances. So there's some interesting stuff going on. You know, DHL's doing it too, right? DHL's done some experiments.
That's crazy.
Package delivery. So there's some neat things going on. And again, that goes to the, you know, to the benefit to society. But with that comes the danger. I mean, what happens when a big old package is being delivered and the drone loses power and that package falls on somebody's head, right? So there's a whole lot of case law that is as yet to be developed around these things.
What happens when there's like thousands of drones and they run into each other?
Well, that's the thing. We got to solve for that pretty quickly.
There's going to be a streets for drones. Yeah, lanes.
Maybe. Yeah, remember.
Well, they have to detect each other.
Well, they'll probably have drone lanes, right? They kind of do. They'll have drone lanes in the sky, and maybe they'll fly just like regular planes would.
Or they communicate with each other, and they know how to go around each other.
That's what everybody's working towards. Everybody's trying to find a unified, or not even unified, just any system where we can get all the drones to talk. The problem is all the vendors, you know, right now,
it's not going to happen. Yeah, the bad guys aren't going to do that. The bad guys aren't going to follow the rules.
Oh, not at all. In fact, quite the opposite. I fully expect that once that we get anything like that in place, if I'm a bad guy, the smartest thing I want to do if I'm going to commit a crime is to hijack one of the legal drones, go commit the crime with it, and frame somebody else for the crime.
That is bad. You can do that.
Yeah, of course you can do that. It's easy.
You could take them over just like you can with any software.
Yep. Yep, and we've already been doing some early experiments with how we can do that against bad guy drones. When bad guy drone comes in, we'll take it over and make it crash or land it or do something else with it.
Well, this is a huge growing market, and I assume you guys are just busier than heck.
We are. We got more business than we can handle at this point, and we're trying to stay on top of it. I mean, it's kind of interesting. You really kind of separate the discussions you have into two piles. There's the pile of people who are genuinely interested, want to buy, want to, you know, understand the space and be involved and take part. And then there's the pile of people who just want to copy your idea. You know, I get literally every week I get one or two phone calls from a student who wants to intern to learn about our system. And it's pretty obvious what the goals are. Yeah, you know, these things happen. I get research places calling me up from foreign countries going, we would like to research your product. I'm like, well, I'm sure you would, but you're not going to do it because I'm selling it. So, yeah. You know, that happens. You get that, and we accept that.
An intern might not be a bad idea, but not for the intentions of stealing our ideas.
Yeah, not when they're calling you every other day from China. No, that's bad.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's awesome. You're going to share with us your contact information, and I can put it up on the radio page, and people have, you know, wealthy people, the public sphere, anybody commercial. You actually protect executives and things at big events and stuff like that, right? You do that
Absolutely.
As well. Political campaigns, that kind of stuff.
Yep, absolutely. That's what our portable units were specifically designed for those kind of transient type events where you need to deploy quickly and have security personnel. Nice thing about the portables is we've got a nice little Bluetooth earpiece that security people can wear. And so it doesn't light up or do anything. It just tells them in their ear, hey, there's a drone around, lets them deal with it. So there's some really neat things. I would encourage, though, I know you're going to put my contact info in there, and I said it before, make sure when you go to our website, go to the videos place of our website. I think that's kind of our shining star. That's where we actually show what we're doing. And most of those haven't been edited. And the ones that have been edited, very light editing just for time. So we don't sugarcoat it. We show you everything that's going on as best we can.
Oh, interesting. Well, good. Well, thank you. I'm really glad that you came today. People are always very curious about this space and what's going on. And it's nice talking to somebody that is in the leading edge of this.
I appreciate you having me on, Sarah. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Zane. Talk to you later. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
So you need to tell me what you think about this interview and some of the other interviews that I have done. Go to sarahwestell.com and give us your comments on what you think of my guests and what they're saying. The other thing I want to recommend that you do is go to sarahwestall.com and look at my media kit. It is up there for 2016. We are planning on doing global syndication, especially nationwide. We'll have a little bit more coverage nationwide than we'll have globally, but we will be in 120 countries and we'll be in 11 million homes just in the United States. So go to my media or go to my website and download my media kit and you can see the different rates that we have. And we have packages, if you can believe it, that I don't know if it's a package, but we have starting rates at $250 and we have packages as low as $1,000 where you can get some serious exposure. You can get for, I know this seems like a lot, but for a company that wants nationwide exposure for $12,000, you can get a year of continuous exposure nationwide, which is a phenomenal rate. And it's not just nationwide on the radio. It's also the internet and some video that we do. It's just phenomenal what these packages are. So please go to my website, sarahwestell.com, and check out the media kit. But for now, everyone have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Business Game Changers with host Sarah Westall. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, as Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Pacific Time. And learn more about Sarah at sarahwestall.com today.